Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Does he get it, do you think?
Who, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he gets it. Because the reason I'm saying that, the reason we're playing the Stone Cold Steve Austin is not because of my brother from another, John Chuckery, who's down in Florida on the beach getting his tan. It's because I saw Joe Patrick for the first time in a long time. And I've never seen Joe without a hat. I saw Joe without a hat one time. I was like, oh. That's what Joe looks like without a hat.
Usually wears a hat.
Usually wears a hat. Usually wears just that. Like me. I came to work on Tuesday.
Freaked everybody out.
And I forgot my hat. Freaked all y'all out. I'm like, Randy, what's going on? I was like, yeah, I forgot my hat. I was getting Nico big ass in the car.
Yeah.
And
luckily you had one here.
Luckily I had one here. So, I mean, I always got a hat and shoes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so Joe yesterday comes in. He has the beanie on. And then he takes off the beanie. And Joe has no hair with the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I thought about. He wants Stone Cold.
He likes trouble.
Yeah, he likes trouble because he's moved our time four times in 2 days.
I know. No kidding.
11:40, 12:20. No, you know what? I think I want 11:40. You know what? Joe just said 11.
Is he even on hold? Like, is he available?
Is he there?
Oh, he is. Okay.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
Great. Well, then let's get to him.
Yeah.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host.
Stone Cold is about my moving the time. Me just busting in whenever I want.
Two birds with one stone. Cold.
And Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Two birds and one stone. Cold. Smoking Joe.
I'm about to open up two cans of whoop ass on y'all. True, the hair's gone.
Is your new haircut the most interesting thing that's happened Falcons free agency related?
I think you're going to say more most interesting thing about me, which is yes. Falcons free agency? Yeah, probably. I mean, the Falcons free agency has just been kind of re-signing some of the depth players or some of the, you know, kind of budget quality players like a Mike Hughes that they've had. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you lose a player like Grady Jarrett, Andrew Dolman, like two key starters for you, and to think that you're actually, you know, making the team overall better. And honestly, guys, yeah, I know we're just kind of diving right into a Falcons conversation here, but, you know, I think that it's going to be the theme of this defense where, like, they're going to have to rely on players to step up who have not quite, you know, proven it yet in their careers. Not every guy on that defense. Obviously, some of them, Caden Ellis, Jesse Bates, we know the stars. But guys like Ruka Roro, guys like Trey Anderson, you know, can he stay healthy and prove that he's a quality NFL player? I think, you know, the Falcons' defensive fate and, you know, frankly, the fate of the team, I think is going to rest on some of these players being able to step up and fill the void for some of these key players that they've lost. It's not that they've lost a ton of players, but they've lost some very key players they're going to need to make sure they have cover for.
Hey, JP, were you surprised at the re-signing of Mike Hughes because of, you know, there was always a thing where they need a new corner. Yeah, they still need another corner. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
But for him to come back on the number that he came back on?
Yeah, no, I was not surprised because I did think that they talk glowingly about Mike and what he brings to the team, not just for his, you know, what you typically want from your cornerback in terms of the coverage skills and everything, but what the coaches will talk about when it comes to Mike Hughes is the physicality that he brings and kind of setting the tone from a position that's not quite known for, you know, kind of establishing that. And that's just a quality that he brings that really, I think, helps give the defense some identity. Now, when it does come to the coverage for him, I think there's a key here, which is that they see him as an outside corner. And if they were really going to go for, you know, some high-quality cornerback, obviously that's not so much available in the free agent market for this team, considering the circumstances. But, you know, if they were to target somebody from the outside, I don't think that Mike Hughes would be the corner that they would want playing the nickel. But based on the fact that they did re-sign him, I think that we now have a clear indication that you're obviously going to have AJ on one side and Mike Hughes on the other. And they could very well draft a cornerback with their first pick, with the 15th pick in this draft. I think that corner can be expected to slot in as a nickel corner, which is a starting player in the NFL. By the way, I know a lot of people hear nickel corner and you kind of think, oh, that's a backup. No, that's a full-time player on an NFL defense. But maybe if they do draft a corner, you would think that the track for that player would be, you know, you start as a slot and then maybe we'll potentially move you to the outside, potentially move you to safety if that player is capable of having that versatility. But I think that it definitely, you know, lends to the fact that, you know, they are very comfortable with Mike Hughes in Raheem Morris's defensive system, the coverage system that he likes to deploy in, you know, doing what they think he needs to be doing.
If you had made a list, and maybe you did because you cover the team, you write stuff down from time to time, of Falcons' needs pre-free agency, and then you checked that list now, is it shorter? Is it longer? Is it the same? Like, how has the last week shifted the roster composition and what happens next?
It's a great question because I think that it's nearly the same. I think that there's one position you can I'm going to say like kind of tick off the list, even though I think that they will add to this group probably in the draft. I think there are some interesting players at the back end of the draft they could target here. But at the linebacker position, I think that by signing Divine Diablo, elite name, they have rounded out that group now with four linebackers that they trust. Now, can those players be on the field all the time? Like Troy Anderson, we'll see. But with Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, Divine Diablo, and then J.D. Bertrand, who I know that they love, and I think that there are some weaknesses to his game, but I think that they are very happy with him being the fourth linebacker in this team. I think that they're pretty well covered there. Again, I think that they could use maybe one of those seventh-round picks that they have to, again, go after one of those guys, although when you're talking about a fifth linebacker on a team, that's a special teams player mainly. But I think that what they've done in free agency is smart in that they've kind of covered their bases. They've gotten essentially bodies in at all the positions that they kind of need. Center not so much, but they still have the right of first refusal. So they haven't really executed the transaction on Neusel yet, but they've kind of got him sitting there ready. So I'm considering him part of the team at this point. But what they don't have is kind of that top-end quality at some of these positions. And so, you know, again, nickelback is a huge issue that still stands out. Safety, do you trust DeMarco Helms? I think there's a lot of questions about that, considering he missed all of last year. Going into last year, I think that there was a lot of optimism that he could take over that safety spot. But, yeah, and then how many resources do you want to devote to that spot to make sure that you're covered? I think that you at least need another body there for sure. And then on the defensive line, it'll be interesting to see what happens because I still think that there's a player in particular in David Onyemata who's on the roster at this point, but I still think is a cut candidate at some point. I mean, he's making $17 million. He's $17 million against the cap this year. If there is a move, potentially a big move out there that they're hoping to get done, potentially for a Trey Hendrickson, for example, then maybe David Onyemata is a guy who's still there because they want, you know, they know that they can kind of free up that money at any point in time. But I still think, to answer your question, Andy, there's a lot of talent that they need to bring in at the kind of the top of the pecking order, the top of the depth chart in some of these areas. But I think what it's been smart that they've done is kind of cover their bases. So from this point forward, they can go out there, whether it's the draft or a trade or free agency, and kind of address that top quality issue and really target whoever they want and give themselves a lot of versatility in that respect.
I did not realize his number was that large. And I wanted to ask you now. I got to tell you my question because I was going to ask you something about 18. But if that's the case, how much faith do you think Arthur Smith has in this Raheem Terry Fontenot regime to be able to commit long-term type things like that? Because you're going to have to give up a lot if you want to go get a Trey Hendrickson. So do you know if they have – no, you probably don't know, Joe. But do you think they have the faith to maybe have to give up a possible two next year in order to get a guy like that?
I think they would. You know, the Trey Hendrickson thing is really interesting because the reports out there are saying that the Bengals are demanding a first-round pick, right, which – man, that brings me back to the conversations that we were having about Lamar Jackson back in the day where, you know, I was kind of making the point where it's like, yeah, like you should definitely, you know, if you can get a quarterback of that caliber, you pay him whatever he's worth. But can you actually, has it been stood up as, is there a test case out there that shows that you can actually win a Super Bowl by giving away two first round picks and then paying the quarterback that much? I was not sure about that. And I think the same here with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, you're going to have to give him a big number. That's going to handicap your team in a way where you then need those top picks. You know, you need your first-round picks in that case if you're going to be paying that number. So I think that there is still, you know, this team can still open up a lot of cap space. Like a substantial amount. Like, let's say enough to cover a big incoming player coming in.
Beyond Onyemata, what are the other ways they could do that beyond Onyemata?
Yeah, there's a restructures they could do with Chris Lindstrom, with Jesse Bates, I believe they could restructure. And this would be temporary, just like opening up cap space. So you could just open up cap space for this year.
Right.
So then you could fit guys in. Then you'd have more problems to deal with down the road. But I think we all want to see them bring in, you know, high caliber players that can help this team immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of gets back to Randy's question of like, yeah, short-term fix, long-term ramifications.
But
if the short-term fix doesn't work, the long-term ramifications are somebody else's problem. And are they empowering these guys to be like, you know, mortgaging the future to save their own personal future? I don't know. I would hope so. Like, I would hope that even though it is like win or go home for some of these guys, I feel like this year from a Falcons front office perspective, I would still hope that Arthur Blank would be like, you know, do whatever you think is right. You know, like you got to do what you think is the best thing for now and for the future of this team, even if I don't know how long your future is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would hope.
I think Terry Fondo has been responsible about the signing so far. I don't think we have any indications that he's like, you know, going into this free agency period with his job as the top priority. I don't think that's the case at all.
No.
So,
no.
But we'll see.
No. But I mean, they're the same thing, right? Like if the free agency period goes well and they win, then his job is retained. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there joins us, I think Fridays, right? Or whenever he's available.
Know.
Whatever is available. We'll come back. We'll get you updated on what's going on at the Players' Championship. We'll do a little mini back page with Bo, and then we'll get to some Sports Jeopardy as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.